comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is a delight to have you here, and I'm delighted to be here as well. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We are here because you have a right to know. And frankly, you matter. Very quickly, let me remind you, if you already know about it, if you don't know about it, let me inform you that we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called The K-Files, and we would love for you to be getting it. It's absolutely free, no strings attached, no gimmicks, it's just free. So if you have not yet subscribed to The K-Files, be sure you get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And right in the middle of the screen, you will find a link that says K-Files. And just click that and subscribe, and you'll get a confirmation email that has a link in it that you need to use in order to activate your subscription. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Let me remind you also that The Kevin Smith Show is listener-supported. During this show, you will not hear us play any commercial messages. And we do that because our listeners asked for that, and we made that switch about, three, four years ago. So we're listener-supported, and that means if you are enjoying The Kevin Smith Show and you think that we're presenting you with information that's valid, good information that that you want to hear about, you need to stand with us. Without you, we won't be here. So a couple of ways you can do that. You can go over to the website, click where it says donate, and just make a donation to us in any amount. Or you can join our members area. That's $6.95 a month, 23 cents a day. That's not exorbitant, is it? Or you can do both. And we certainly hope you will, because without you standing with us, we cannot stand. The end of the world has been announced for May the 21st. I guess some of you have heard about that. There is an evangelical preacher by the name of Harold Camping, and he's telling everybody that, and he's very serious about it. It's not just hype. He's quite serious in his belief. But anyway, May the 21st is the end of the world. And Mr. Camping, or Reverend Camping, has quite a number of followers. Quite a lot of people have joined the bandwagon and, in fact, are helping him get the message out. Well, I don't think he's correct, but he could be. And if he is, I will find out about it at the same time everybody else does. However, I plan to be in the chat room on May the 21st, and I hope you'll join me there. I'm going to be in the Kevin Smith Show chat room in the members area at showtime May the 21st, and I guess if it happens, we'll all go together. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening has been with us before, and I have to say, his previous appearance here set off a tsunami of response, pro and con, and that's a good thing. It's got people talking. Command Sergeant Major James Norton, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, buddy. Good to be on here.
You know, it's pretty interesting. We don't have any telephone problems when I'm just talking with you on the telephone. The instant I bring you on the air, we're getting feedback and static and things like that. And I assure you, it is not the equipment, because I've used it today and everything was fine. What do you think's up with that?
Well, I had some radios in the background going, some digital radios and analog radios and set radio. I've got all that turned off now, so you should be able to hear me better.
Okay, very good. All right, now, the last time you were here, we talked about, and we're going to talk about it some more tonight, but we talked about this battle that took place. You told us about it at Fort Benning, and it was a battle between the U.S. Army and some UFOs that showed up one night during some joint exercises. We had heard that story previously. We heard it. We had heard the story about the battle from John Vasquez.
Roger.
And then, you know, for a long time, there was no one except John that was talking about it. And then you stepped forward and he said, you told us, yeah, it's real. It happened. And I was there.
Right.
Well, I posted that on our website. I posted the video of the show on YouTube.
Right.
And other sites picked it up, and they were talking about it. And, you know, as I said, you created quite a bit of conversation, and that's a great thing to get people talking about this stuff so that, you know, we know what's going on. They can ask their questions. They can make their comments. Well, I want to sort of give you a chance to sort of clarify some things for some of the comments that have been made. And by the way, a number of people have been sending me email and saying, you know, have you heard anything else from Command Sergeant Major James Norton? Because they wanted updates as to, you know, what was happening to you. And we certainly will get into that as well. But let's start off with one of the comments that I saw. I don't know if it was posted at YouTube or if it was posted in our forums. I can't remember where I saw it. But it said, you know, this doesn't seem right because the National Guard doesn't have command sergeant majors. So do they?
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do, too.
Okay. And you are active.
They have E1 through E9. Yes, sir.
Okay, and so you're on active status, right?
I yes, sir. Right now, I am reserve right now.
Okay, you're a reserve.
Yes, sir.
But are you activated?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are. The unit is active. Yes, sir, we sure are.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we have been doing a lot of, I don't know if you heard about all the tornadoes that hit Alabama.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we have been busting our butts to help the community, you know, with cleanup, locating people, you know, just everything that they need, we're there for them.
Okay, so is that the reason it's been so difficult for people to get in touch with you?
Yes, sir, it sure has. It sure has, because, a lot of the cell towers, when the tornadoes hit, they tore the cell towers down. And so we didn't have much communication as far as cell-wise. We were having to switch over to our radios, talk radio to radio.
Okay, and you use a cell phone, so it was difficult for people to get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, sure was, because we had no signal. No signal whatsoever.
Okay. Now, You know, I remembered the last time you were here that when we went on the air, we had problems with getting feedback and things like that, and we just kind of suffered through it. You and I have talked on the telephone a couple of times. Yesterday we talked. We talked again today. We had none of that problem.
No, sir. I've got everything shut off.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're causing it. I don't think you're causing that problem. But when I turn your volume up where people can hear you well, here's what happens.
Okay.
Okay, now, I don't know why, because that's not normal. But anyway, we'll get through it. I would suspect that what we've got is, you know, some assistance out there. But okay, so let's talk about another issue, and that is, after you were on the show last time, we had quite a bit of, as I say, we had quite a bit of conversation going on out there in the forums, comments being made, pro and con, which is normal. That's normal. It's natural. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, James Norton had to go on and do what James Norton does every day. Did you encounter any kind of pressure or harassment or anything like that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've had people follow me, make rude calls to myself, and I've got a lot of emails from different people thanking me for coming forward and all this other, and wanting to know why it took me so long, you know, to find John. And you know, I had no idea where John was at the time. And thank God, I had a friend of mine that said, hey, you might want to see this on YouTube. And because I had already told them about it. You know, they were not military. They were civilians. And I told them about it. And finally, I found out that Bruce Stephen Holmes is the one, you know, wrote the book. And he had John Vasquez's number. And see, I looked for John for years and years and couldn't find him. Could I remember his name, because I hit him that night when he got off the back of the deuce and a half. His gear hung up on the back of the truck. And so, I remember John real good.
Okay, well, I guess you can tell I'm still playing with the volumes, trying to get your volume up. But here's what I will suggest for our listeners. I would suggest for our listeners that what they need to do is just turn the volume up on their radio so they can hear you. It is registering, but what's happened is we're not able to get your volume up to normal here without that feedback.
Right, sir. I don't have anything on in my truck. Everything is turned off. No radios. The truck is shut off. Everything is off. So it may be my location where I'm at. I'm in between two big mountains, and I'm in a lower valley, so that might be part of the problem.
Well, I wish that were it, but I kind of have my doubts about that. Okay.
If you need me to, I can try to move some.
No, I don't think that's going to be necessary. All right, we'll just proceed with what we've got here. Okay, now you had an incident, I believe, where you went out to, and you may not want to talk about this. And then again, it may be something that you think is okay to talk about. I'll leave it up to you. But you had an incident where you actually got detained for a while. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I sure did.
Is that something you can talk about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's fine to talk about.
All right. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Okay. You know, I live about an hour and a half away from Fort Benning. And I went back down to the range where the incident happened that night. And I took some just regular digital pictures with my camera. And I also took some video of a, I had a Sony Handycam. And I took some video, and I was walking back toward my vehicle, and next thing I see two military police vehicles pull up. telling me I had to leave. And I said, well, what's wrong with this picture? I said, it's an open post. He said, you need to leave and leave now. I said, okay, well, no problem. So one is in front, one's behind me, and I'm in the middle. And then they stop in the road and tell me, you follow me. We're going to the post commander's building. So we went to the post commander's building, and I got a really good butt to it. He said, do you know how much problems you have caused us? I said, what do you mean? He said, you caused us a lot of problems here on Fort Benning. And I said, well, what kind of problem? He said, you would not believe the people that have come down here to this range taking pictures, videos, and all this other stuff. And I said, well, I meant no intentions to do that.
Well, you know, what I would say about that is that just proves that there are a lot of people listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and I hope that the base commander is listening, and I hope all the MPs are listening. We love listeners no matter what the situation is. And so, you know, I hope they're listening. Okay.
The post commander told me that he had average every day of anywhere from 50 to 100 people coming down here. And it was disrupting training for me, for him on this range.
Hmm.
So I guess there was quite a bit of people coming down there taking pictures and videos.
Did he tell you that you couldn't talk about this anymore?
Hank, well, really, Hank and Hank, some of it I can, some I can't. But when I got to his building, the post commander, he was on the phone. I didn't know at the time who he was talking to. And then he hands me the phone, and this guy introduces himself. He is a supervisor over a military department, and told me, he said, you have caused us a lot of problems. And I said, well, why would I cause y'all problems? He said, because of what's going on at Fort Benning. I said, okay. I said, well, I had no intention on doing that. I said, well, I mean, what department are you with? He didn't want to tell me. And I said, well, if you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to go any further with this conversation. And then he then tells me I am the supervisor over the NSA. And I think, okay. So I know what that is. And he said, you need to stop what you're doing. Do not go forward with what you're planning on. And I said, what do you mean? He said, what you're doing, you need to stop now. You know, no other questions about it. You need to stop now. And I said, okay, whatever. And I got a good butt chewing from the post commander and him on the phone. And so I was escorted off post. And all the way, that hour and a half drive from Fort Benning back to my home, I had two SUV, solid black, windows tinted out dark, follow me all the way back to my home. And they never did actually stop me or anything. But they stayed behind me the whole time.
Did they stay outside of your home and keep you under surveillance for any length of time?
Oh yes, sir. Sure did.
Are you still under surveillance by these people?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few of them come by real slow, turn around, and go back down to the end of the road and park.
Does that bother you?
Oh no, that don't bother me. I've got a no trespassing sign on my property now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it don't bother me. No, I know how to take care of myself.
Okay, so you were told by this person who identified himself as being with the NSA that you need to stop talking about this battle at Fort Benning, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any doubt in your mind as to whether this person truly is NSA?
I thought he was by what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he talked and everything. And, I believe it was. I do believe.
Okay, so it hasn't stopped you talking about it, has it?
Oh, no. No. No, when I come out here where I'm at now, I have a frag vest on. I have a bulletproof vest on. I am armed. You know, I don't take any chances. And same way, when I leave my home, my children and my grandchildren are safe. And there is guys from my unit that are taking time coming and, you know, being at my place to make sure nothing happens.
Okay, so you're pretty well protected for 24 hours a day then.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, mm-hmm. Because we got quite a few members in our unit. And, you know, when you mess with one, you mess with all of us. Because we're a tight-knit unit. You know, we're there for each other. If anything goes down, no matter what, they're there anytime we need them.
Have any of these guys that come and stay at your house and provide that extra security for you, have any of them seen these SUVs with the blacked out windows? Have they seen the surveillance?
Oh yeah. They know they're there. They see them. Yes, sir. Especially, and what really gets me cracked up is when the guys that are there in the daytime and they leave, and the other guys are coming in the evening. You know, they'll stop and wave at them. You know, just, you know, aggravate them, and then they'll pull on down into my property.
And so they're not intimidated by them either.
Oh, no. Sure not. Because, you know, I hadn't done anything wrong. I have not done anything wrong under any kind of law to where they could do anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, freedom of speech, you know, we've had it for a long time, and we're still going to have it. Freedom of speech.
Well, I certainly hope we have it for a long time yet, but I will tell you this. American people seem to have forgotten it's use it or lose it. And if you don't use it, you will lose it. And there are people cowering now and saying, oh, I'm afraid to speak out. And you know what they're afraid of? The government they formed and the government they pay. Any employer that's afraid of his employees needs to fire the employee.
Right. That's it.
That's the way I see it. Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us. Let them be.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Let's, we've got a break coming up, and then we'll get into some of these questions, some additional questions here. That people wanted to get clarified. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Command Sergeant Major James Norton. He's been with us before. And if, folks, if you didn't hear that previous show that we did, where he talked with us about the a battle that took place at Fort Benning between the U.S. Army and some UFOs, as corroboration of the story told to us by John Vasquez, who says that he was there and that's what happened. Command Sergeant Major Norton stepped forward and he said, yes, John Vasquez is telling the truth. It happened. I was there. And so if you didn't catch that previous show, it's in our archives. Archives here are called K-Pods. Okay, K-Pods. And so they're in the K-Pods, and you can also catch it at YouTube. It's out there. But tonight he's back with us after having been through quite a bit of harassment and pressure and being placed under surveillance, and he's still ticking. And when I asked if he would be willing to come on the show and talk with us tonight, he didn't even hesitate. He said, sure, I'll be glad to do that. So he's back with us again tonight. Now, one of the questions that some people didn't understand, and we want to clarify, I asked you in that previous show if you had any idea how this battle started? In other words, who fired first? Was it the UFOs that fired first, or was it us? So let's clarify that.
Well, when we were on the range, you know, we had a lot of troops that night, 1,200 to 1,300 troops. We had Clifford Alexander there. I mean, you're talking about a high-ranking person up in the federal government. We started seeing, like, flashes in the sky. And I guess within a few minutes later, we started seeing objects in the sky. Okay? Then we see these gunships, the Huey UH-58 gunships, coming over us, over the tree. They were coming down in the valley. And then we see them firing on these, you know, objects in the sky. And all hell broke loose then. I'm telling you, all hell broke loose. We started seeing all kind of, like, lasers shooting across the sky. Some were blue, some were green, yellow, pink, blue, red. I mean, it's all different colors together. And it was just unbelievable. Something like that quick happening, you know, you're kind of stunned when you see something like it. You don't realize.
Okay, but do you have a clear memory of whether, was it the UFOs that fired first, or was it the U.S. Army?
It was U.S. Army. They fired first. Because we were listening to all the communications on the radios, and we could hear everything that was being said at the airport. And see, they had these objects on radar. And they were unidentified objects. They had no transponders whatsoever putting out that signal like a regular plane does or a jet.
Mm-hmm.
Each aircraft has a transponder so they can be tracked. Well, these objects that showed up on radar did not have any transponders. They tried communicating with them. There was no communication back.
All right. One of the comments you had mentioned in response to my question, I had asked you, are you aware of any other battles between U.S. military and UFOs? And you told us about one that took place in Germany, and that you were listening. You're a ham operator, and you were listening to the radio traffic of a couple of fighter pilots who were engaged in some kind of confrontation with a UFO over Germany. Do you remember telling us about that?
Yes, sir, sure did.
One of the comments that was posted, I believe, at YouTube said, you know, whoever it was said he's a ham operator and that's not possible. Can you clarify that for us?
Oh, yes, it is possible. See, ham radio, on a HF radio with ham, you can even listen to submarines in the ocean. You can hear any kind of aircraft that transmits a signal. You can hear all of that on a ham radio. See, ham radio will go all the way to the top of the band of communications and all the way down to the low band of communications.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear, if you know what frequency to listen to, you can listen.
Okay. Now, we know about ham radio operators using what they call bounce to talk to places around the world. But you can't just turn on your radio and know that you're going to hit Germany, right?
Right, right. You've got to know pretty close where the frequency is that they use at that base.
Okay.
And each base has a one controlled channel or frequency that they use to transmit to all receptions in that area.
Now, what does that mean, one controlled frequency?
It's one frequency that's set aside for emergencies. That one frequency is emergency and emergency only.
Okay, and I would assume it's not in the open then.
No, it is not.
So that would be an encoded frequency.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And see, I have what's called a ICOM 706 Mark IIG. It is a high-frequency radio. It has high band, medium band, and low band. I can actually listen to submarines in the ocean.
Have you ever heard them talk about these underwater UFOs?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Sure have.
You've heard the submarines talk about it.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I have a friend was in the Navy. He is here now where I live, a few miles away. And he showed me some documentation when he was on that carrier about things like that.
Okay, but you're telling us that on your ham radio, you have listened to traffic, radio traffic from submarines about underwater UFOs.
Unidentified objects. Yes, sir. Sure have.
Okay.
My friend has documentation from these incidents that happened on this carrier.
All right. Now I want to move to you. You gave us a very dramatic account, and by that I don't mean that you embellished anything. I just mean that what was going on was rather dramatic about this battle between UFOs and the U.S. Army at Fort Benning, and I believe this took place in 1977. Is that right?
Yes, sir. September the 14th.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you told us that you your job at that time, your assignment was that you were providing security for the Secretary of the Army, Clifford Alexander, who was there on the base.
Yes, sir. He was on the range that night with us, and all his aides. He had like 20-something aides with him.
Okay, so that was your assignment. Were you a command sergeant major at that point?
No, sir. No, sir, I was not.
Do you remember what your rank was at that point?
Yes, sir, I was a sergeant.
Okay.
Just a Sergeant E5.
All right, so...
My unit there that I was a military police was USAC MP Company at Fort Benning. That was my unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on what's called special duty. And I have all the documentation from that also.
Okay. Now,
there and everything that I did.
Speaking of documentation, you also told us that during this battle, you were injured.
Yes, sir.
Can you describe for us what happened and what kind of injuries did you get?
On my right leg, toward my hip, or my buttocks on my right side, I was burnt beyond third-degree burns. And I've got the pictures that they took of it. Also, what we were hit with, some kind of, I don't know if it was a chemical or what it was, but I've got the documentation from the hospital saying that this was an unknown organism. It could not be identified. And that's when we all come down with the measles. We had temperatures of 106. They dipped me in a metal tub with ice water and ice in it every 15 minutes for 48 hours to get my temperature down. All kind of antibiotics, any kind of medicine they thought would work, but none of them worked.
Did you think you were going to die?
Oh, yes, sir. We were sick as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had us in a area where it was contained. Anybody that come in had this suit on, that they had their own breathing, that the air tubes, mm-hmm. packs on their back. It was completely shut down. Nobody was in or out unless you were in one of them suits.
How many people were in there with you?
They thought it was contagious.
Well, how many people were in there with you? How many other patients?
The one ward that I was in, there were about 40 of us in that one ward.
And
all with the same symptoms.
Same symptoms.
Every one of us had the same symptoms.
Okay, now you, as a matter of fact, there is, I think... I'm not real sure, but I think I have seen that there was a news report about an outbreak of measles at the base.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Everybody that night come down with measles a few days later. Everybody that was on that range.
All right. So what is it that you got this burn? What is it that did that to you?
It was a laser. It was a laser. Yeah, because when it hit me, it burnt. I still got my BDU pants, or it burnt the hole in my pants.
Uh-huh.
And then the pictures that the doctors took of it. And they even tried to take like pieces of my skin and analyze it and run it through microscope and all kind of tests. And they said it was unknown. They didn't have no idea what it was.
And this came from the UFO?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because several of us was hit at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was screaming and hollering. And, I mean, it was just chaos. All of a sudden, you know, everything hit at one time. And it catches you off guard. Because you're thinking, well, I'm on the range to do a night fire, a live fire. And then all hell breaks loose. You know, it stuns you at first. You don't know what's going on.
Okay, now, you said that you helped Vasquez get off of a truck that night.
Yes, sir. His web gear hung up on the end of the truck, on the tailgate of it.
Yeah.
When he was getting off. Because you've got, you let the gate down, you've got a foot place where you can put your foot in to step down off the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his web gear hung on the side of that. And he was hanging by that strap. So I reached up and helped him get off the back of the truck. And I seen his name. I said, "Your name Vasquez?" "Yep, that's me." I said, "Well, I'm you know, Sergeant Norton."
Okay, so both of you were injured and you were both getting out of this truck? Is that what the deal was?
No, John was okay. I was the one that got hit.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's where I got the pictures. The doctors done took, I don't know how many pictures they took of me where I was burned.
And you have the pictures in the medical records of that, huh?
Yes, sir. Sure, I have the medical report. I have the records. I have the pictures. Yes, sir, I have all that. I'm willing to put it online.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Command Sergeant Major James Norton, and we're talking about a most amazing story about a UFO U.S. Army battle in 1977. He says he was there. He says he was injured in the battle, and he says that he's got the photographs and the medical reports that document the injuries and that say it's from some unknown source. They have no idea what the cause was. And that's what we were talking about, James, when we went away for break. So let's pick up there. Now, you got injured, and you were in this, ward, hospital ward. This ward is a closed ward. Only people wearing hazmat suits can come in there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir, and so
they were afraid it may be contagious.
So all of the people that were in this ward came down with measles. What about,
yes, sir,
how many other injuries were there? I mean, your ward was full. You had 40 people in there. But how many other wards were there, do you know?
I think two others besides ours.
So we're talking about 120 people.
Yes, sir. Because once we were put in there, we were not allowed to go out of that room or anything or have anybody in, even our wife, our children, or you know, our relatives, our mom and dad. Well, we're not allowed anybody in there.
And what did they tell the families?
That we were in the hospital, that we were okay, and that we would be out as soon as possible.
Uh-huh.
They didn't describe anything to them that had happened to us. I guess they didn't want to worry them. But, no, they did not disclose anything to my relatives or my wife.
Now, at that time, you were not in the National Guard, if I understand it correctly. At that time, you were U.S. Army.
Yes, sir. You're sorry.
Okay.
That was my duty station at Fort Benning.
Okay. And now, you've been back to Fort Benning since the day you got detained over there.
Yes, sir.
What happened? When you went back, you got detained, and you got told to lay off on this stuff. And then you got put under surveillance.
Yes, sir.
And then you went back to Fort Benning. Why?
I just wanted to see.
I mean, after you were detained and you went back.
Okay. Yes, sir. I went back. Yes, sir. I sure did. I still have some friends that are stationed there.
Uh-huh.
They live on post. And I went down to see them. And I asked them, I said, hey, y'all want to ride out to the range where that happened? He said, heck yeah, man, let's go. So six of us went out there. And at that time, the military police didn't show up. We did not see any military police or anything. We sent a lot of other civilians out there and military personnel, you know, taking pictures and stuff. But other than that, no, we didn't have any problem that second time, which I know why. I was in a different vehicle.
Okay.
So they had my vehicle pegged, buddy. I'm telling you, tight. They had me pegged.
All right. But that brings up another thing that I've heard people say, and that is that you talked about civilians being on the base and that didn't sound right, that civilians wouldn't be on the base. And listen, I'm not Army. I'm not military. And what I was international police. As far as the military is concerned, that's civilian.
Exactly.
I've been on the base. I had PX privileges because I was international police. And by the way, and people may laugh at this, but this is a very important thing. If you're stationed in a hostile area, we had the base commander gave us the right to use the barbershop on base.
Roger.
Because you don't want someone with sharp razors and scissors cutting your hair out in the civilian barbershops if it's in an area where the people really don't want you there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But there were civilians everywhere. And there's a ton of civilians that do jobs on the base for the military.
The PX, yes, sir. Commissary, PX, most of them civilian.
Yeah. Yeah. The people that were cutting our hair in the barbershop were civilians.
Yes, sir. APs. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
There was.
And then you have a lot of construction that goes on bases. And that's done usually, not all, but usually by civilian contractors.
Civilian contract. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Civilian contractors.
So you have a lot of civilians on these bases. Okay, so let's go back to 1977 for just a moment, and you got injured. But before you got injured, were you actually engaging in battle? Were you firing at these things?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure did. We fired back.
Yeah, but and I don't mean we, the Army. I mean you, personally.
Me? Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I sure was.
And what were you firing? What kind of weapon were you firing at them?
A fully automatic M16.
Did it seem to have any effect?
No, it did not. And I know I was hitting them. Hey, I was raised in Alabama with a .22. I'm a good shot. And I went through the school, the sniper school down there. I can hit a target.
But it was having no effect on these things. Well, you also told us, though, that two of these were damaged. One of them went down. Two of these UFOs were damaged. One of them went down. It crashed right there on the range.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how did that happen? What did we have that could bring down the UFO?
A missile. It was a guided missile off the helicopter.
Okay. Now, see, before, I understood you to tell me that it was a Laws rocket.
That's what I'm talking about. It's similar to like a missile. It's shoulder-fired. And it's about 4 foot long. It's a round tubular apparatus that you put on your shoulder, and you got a button on the top. You mash that button, and you put your sights on it, and you mash the button, and it goes where you turn your thing you got on your shoulders, the tube.
Uh-huh.
It will actually, it's got wire inside of it, in the tube wound inside of it, and where you turn your sight, it turns also.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called an M72, a LAW.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. Now,
yes,
this was fired from the helicopter?
Yes, yes.
Now, is it mounted on the helicopter? I mean, if
yes,
it's
sir.
A shoulder-mounted kind of thing, how could
yes,
that...
Sir. Well, you can... Yeah, they have shoulder, you know, type, and they got the ones that they put on aircraft. There's two different types. So you got a shoulder one, and then you got one that mounts on an aircraft.
Okay, so it was a Laws-type rocket.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And they do a lot of damage. I'm telling you, they will do a lot of damage.
Do you think that the second UFO that was hit, I think you told us it went down, but it was about a quarter of a mile away, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was a little ways away. Yes, sir. Sure was.
Do you know of any witnesses to that? Were there people who were there and saw the crash?
I'm not sure about that, sir. I'm not, because it was a pretty good piece from us. We could not see, because where we were at on this range, the range kind of levels downhill, and we were on a flat part, and to our right and left and behind us wasn't nothing but trees and other hills and mountains, so we could not see that far.
Okay, but the wreckage of it was discovered and was retrieved, is that right?
Yes, sir. Sure was. Sure was.
Okay, we have a break coming up, and I want to be sure that we don't get into something here, and then I have to cut you off in mid-sentence, so we'll hold up until after the break. Folks, when we come back from this break, I am going to open up the telephone lines so that you can call in and talk with Command Sergeant Major Norton if you so desire. Got a question or a comment? Get your fingers ready. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with Command Sergeant Major James Norton. And as I promised, I am going to open the telephone lines for you. The telephone numbers, for those of you who are watching, are on your screen. For those of you who are listening, they are on my website. But let me give them to you. 623-444-5889. Now, there is on the screen a picture that says first, or a title that says first time callers, and it has a number. Please do not call that number. It is not active. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you desire, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, it would be an international long distance call for you. You may do so, and we will be happy to talk with you. But if you don't want to do that, and you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And right above it, you see the flash message link. Okay? So you can send me your thoughts, your comments that way. James, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. Very good. Let's go to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Command Sergeant Major Norton, I have a few questions.
Okay, well, pick one, because we don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay, just stop me whenever you want. You were E5 in charge of security when this event happened on September 14th, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is it fitting routine for Secretary of the Army to be visiting, to be watching this nighttime fire?
Yes, sir. We had several different ones from the military on different ranges to come down to see the new ranges actually being used and you know, seeing the outcome of the new ranges and stuff. Yes, sir. We had plenty of them come down at different times.
Before this event, did you have any unusual activity, you know, UFO activity prior to this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, sure did. In 1981 and 1986.
Okay, but that would have been after this.
Yes. Right, right. Oh, you're talking about before. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Before, right. Yes, sir, we did. It was like a 8 months prior to this happening. Yes, sir. We actually had one to go down and was retrieved in the woods right on the boundary of Fort Benning and Muskogee County, Georgia.
So you would say this is like heightened security at this time then when Clifford Alexander was there?
Yes, sir. Yes, it was very tight security. Yes, sir.
Okay, how many UFOs were in the sky before like all hell broke loose?
Well, we seen the one first, and then we seen, you know, several other ones, like three more after the first one showed up. And then we're hearing the chatter on the radio from the airport talking back to the helicopters, and they said, we're not seeing it on radar. Are you sure you're seeing what you're seeing? And they responded back to them, yes, sir, we do see this. Do we have permission to fire? And the guy in charge told them, yes, you have permission to fire. If you feel they are hostile, you can fire.
That's interesting. You know, when the firefight broke loose, and like you said, your M60 had no effect on them. Once the UFO was shot with a missile and it actually went down, the other UFOs seemed to say this was the time to get out of there and you know, away.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They got the heck out of the Dodge. Once that one got hit and it actually went down, yeah, the other two that I could see actually took off at a high rate of speed, like from one horizon to the next, and in just a few seconds they were gone.
Okay, Jerome, we have to move along, but I want to thank you for the call. Very, very interesting questions and good points. 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment for Command Sergeant Norton, then that's the number for you to call. And as I said, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, and if you want to participate in the show, but you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can use the flash message option on the website, okay? And you do that by going to my website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and the link for the flash message is right above that picture. All right, to the telephones again, and let me remind everybody when they call in, we're getting help here tonight that we didn't ask for. It is interfering with the phones, so speak very clearly and speak right into your phone, okay? Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
John from San Diego.
Ah, okay. Well, this is John Vasquez.
That's my buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Sergeant Major?
How you doing, John?
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm talking to you tonight. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hey, Sergeant Major, why don't you tell them the folks out there about the Harmony Church fire? Remember that?
They oh, yes, sir. Sure do.
You know that. Yeah, that's recorded. That's on document report.
That's what I was going to say.
That just makes it so solid about this whole thing here. That church didn't start from us. They started the church fire.
Right.
Okay, tell us about it, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, when I seen the the blaze, you know, going on. I'm thinking, what is going on? What's on fire? You know, because it was a huge fire. I mean, it was going, buddy. I mean, just very quick, just like you had poured gas on it. I mean, that's how quick it was burning.
Okay, we have no idea what you're talking about. You're going to have to tell us the story.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, you want me to say it, talk about this, or did you want to?
Okay, no, time out. Here we go. John, okay. Tell us about the church fire.
Yeah, what was happening during this firefight, we noticed smoke coming from the tree lines, and we're telling ourselves that's the Echo Company over there on the northwest side. And then, boy, that fire is, I mean, it was burning. You could see the brightness, the yellowish brightness. It's burning, really burning hard. And we're telling ourselves, hey, we didn't start it. You know, they had to. Whatever it
exactly.
was on the tree lines, we had been fired at, too, and we're firing back, and we're hitting something, definitely hitting something.
Okay, so I still have no idea what the importance of that fire is.
Well, to confirm what was going on with this firefight, this Harmony Church was a significant story, well, actually an event that was taking place when all of us were in this firefight with them. And I feel that was most important because, you know, there was something that was going on and something was burning and choppers were going down. And one of them was on fire, and I didn't know anything about two pilots that was deceased at that time. I knew that the chopper was coming down, and that was on fire, too. So it was a continuous battle going on for at least an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay, now, again, I'm unclear what the importance of a church fire is.
It might not be that important to anybody hearing the story, but to us at that time, we were telling ourselves, this isn't us. This is not something that we were encountering. I mean, this live fire was real. And whatever that was on the other side of the tree lines, it was firing back at us. We had to find out what was going on. And, of course, we got on radio and we talked to the commanding officer, General Wisey, and he was telling us to make it known to find out what's going on here and who are they to be firing at us.
Okay, and what about the church fire? Again, nobody's telling me how the church fire plays a role.
Well,
it was hit.
The church, it was hit. I mean, we didn't hit it. I know we didn't. And
no.
The Echo Company is about on the other side of the road here. And it's the Echo Company were all by themselves over there. So, you know, it's this thing that was going on and it was happening, not just with one area, but it was happening everywhere.
Okay, so because of the firefight between the U.S. Army and the UFOs, this church got hit with something. Is that it?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Okay, was it ever determined whether what it got hit with belonged to the U.S. Army or not?
No, because we wasn't firing it that direction.
We didn't fire. No, we didn't fire it at the church, no. The next morning we took off to see what happened, and the whole church got burnt down to the crisp.
Okay, and so why would the UFOs fire at this church?
Because the Echo Company was there and they were firing back.
Okay, so the Echo Company was somewhere very near this church. They're firing towards the UFO. The UFO fires back at the Echo Company and hits the church.
Hit the church.
Yes, sir.
And it set the church on fire.
Oh, burn it down. Burn it down.
Now, is this church on the base? Is it actually on the base, or is it...
on the base.
Yes, sir. Sure is.
Okay.
On the 1st Battalion Post.
So there would not have been any civilians in the church at the time?
No.
No.
Okay. Now, James, I'm sure that, well, you told us in the last visit, when you were here with us before, that you possess a piece of this downed UFO.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you know there are a lot of people out there that are very anxious for you to have that tested by a laboratory. Are you going to do that?
Well, we have already contacted the laboratory. They are going to start, I think, this week on it. And it's, well, I can tell you where the state is, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, don't even tell us. No, don't even tell us the state. Don't put that out there.
Right. But they are going to be doing the testing on it. It's already been approved. The guy that's going to do it is a well-known metallurgical guy and a scientist. He is the top of the top.
Okay, so that is going to go forward then.
Yes, sir. It sure is. He's already been contacted. He's already verified. Yes, he will do the testing, and he will give the results to me.
Very good. John, do you have another question or comment?
No, sir. I'm going to get off the radio.
Hey, all right. Thanks, John. I appreciate the call.
Take care, John.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Is the telephone number for you to call. Let's see.
Kevin,
I have a flash message. The flash message refers to something besides what we're talking about. So let me see what else we have here. There we go. Okay. If you wish to participate in the show tonight, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you are outside the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature and send us your comments and or your questions, okay? Now, actually, this flash message comes from American Samoa. And it references another show, and it references something I said in the opening of the show. I want to thank you for the flash message, but we really need to focus on the battle at Fort Benning in 1977. So if you have a question or comment about that, feel free. All right, so the piece of metal that you have is on its way to a laboratory. Do they already have it?
I believe so, sir.
Okay. So it's in their possession. They're going to do some tests on it. They're going to provide you with the results.
Yes, sir.
Have you given any thought to what happens if you never see this piece of metal again?
Well, I have more than one piece, so yeah. I have more than one. Yes, sir.
Good going.
But this person that's going to do this is well known. He's at the top of his chain. I mean, he is a top scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend, I can tell you his name.
No, let's not do anything to identify.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's good friends with him. He is a top scientist, and I've seen his qualifications, and he's top-notch.
Okay, well, good. Did he give you any indication at all as to possibly when he might have some results, when he might have a report?
Not right yet. He has been real busy with some other things similar to that, and he told me he would get to it just as quick as possible. And he did assure me that it would be secure in his facility and that it would not disappear.
All right. James, are you selling a book about this? Have you written a book about this, and are you selling a book?
I am in the book about Incident at Fort Benning. And if you read the book, you will see in there at the time it says talks about a sergeant. And that is me, because I was still active duty at the time.
Okay, but that's a book written by someone else.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you selling a book about it?
No, sir. I am not.
Okay. So you are you getting money out of this in any way?
No, sir. No gratuities. No money. No nothing. No, sir. I don't want any. I want the truth to be known what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was our people or something else. I want the truth to be told. I don't want any gratuities, any money, anything like that. Anything, no. I just want it to be known what happened that night, and I want the world to know what's going on.
Okay. Good enough. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Hello, Mary.
I just wanted to ask the Sergeant Major, after you had this very intense experience, did you have any kind of psychic experiences after this happened to you, like any insights or any unusual psychic activity in your own life?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I sure did. You know, it got so bad that I went to a doctor that put me under hypnosis, and I have the audio recording of that session with him. And at the time that I was put under, I didn't remember anything at the time. But when he played the audio back from me on this recorder, it just blew me away. I'm serious. It just blew me away to the point I'm thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, this is what happened. Because we had memory lapse. I mean, quite a few of us had memory lapse. We lost some of our troops. It took us to the next day to find them. They were wandering around in the woodland, in the trees, didn't know who they were, where they were at. I mean, yeah, it was rough.
Wow. So, also, I wanted to ask you, when you actually had contact with the alien beings, and I think you actually saw them, is that correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Did you get any sense of whether they were fundamentally good, or did you get a sense that they were malevolent in any way, or did you have any kind of impression about them as creatures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what really got me is it's like they were talking to it, but their mouth was not moving. It's like, you know, we were hearing them talk, but their mouth was not moving. You know, it was just weird, and I'm thinking, it's like they were in my head telling me, you know, in my head, but I'm not hearing any sound.
What was your impression? Was your impression that they were menacing, or was your impression that they were pretty good guys?
Well, at first, I thought they were hell on earth. I mean, I thought I was in hell at first, and then they kept telling me, everything's okay. We're not going to hurt you. Everything's okay, you know. And I'm thinking, well, you know, why are you doing this then? If you're not hurting us, you know, you need to stop this, you know. And, I felt that way. I sure did.
Okay, and then if I could just ask one quick question and I'll get off the phone is, do you have any idea why there's so much activity at this one military base? And I'll hang up and take your call off the air, and thanks a lot.
Okay, Mary, thanks for the call. Yeah, why Fort Benning?
Well, see, that's I don't know if you look back in history that Fort Benning has been a magnet for UFOs for several years way back. I researched that myself online, and it was unbelievable at the occasions that UFOs were spotted, that they crashed, and it was covered up. And, you know, I've got a lot of friends, high-ranking friends in the military, and they filled me in on a few things too that I didn't know about, which I cannot say, oh, you know, now about.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them are still active duty, and if they did come forward, they are an elite group, I'll put it that way, that they can't talk about it.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I wish I had asked Mary why she asked the question about did you have any increase in psychic ability. That's an excellent question, and I just wonder what prompted her to ask that. But what sort of increased psychic abilities did you notice?
off the bat, I could sense people that I were talking. I was be, you know, standing face to face talking to them, and I could tell real quick if they're telling the truth. I mean, it was unbelievable that I could sense this. I could just about sense what they were saying when they were talking. It was true or not? How they felt, their feelings. I mean, this. It was real weird. And
Did you ever?
I still have it to this day.
Did you then or now ever have the situation where someone starts to talk to you and even before they open their mouth, you know exactly the words that are going to come out?
Yes, sir. You know what? I even told my oldest sister about my brother the day before he got killed.
Mm-hmm.
I told her the day before that he was going to be in an accident in a vehicle on this road at this time. He was going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened the next day. She said, "You're crazy." I said, "Sis, no, I'm not. I seen it. I know. I seen it already. My oldest brother, our stepbrother, was killed."
All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Kevin, and this is Ryan in Washington State.
Hello, Ryan.
I really appreciate you coming forward. And I believe you, your story. I wanted to ask you, had you heard of the phrase safety in the light, which means that the more you come forward, the safer it is for your family, et cetera? There's nothing they can do,
sir,
to stop it.
Yes, sir. That's it. Exactly.
That's it,
see,
yeah.
What's really, I've got several phone calls within the last 2 weeks from other people that were there that night that I've been trying to locate. And one of them is a first sergeant, and he has been interviewed on, Paranormal Daily News. And he does not use his real name. He uses a call sign.
Okay, we have to step away for break. If both of you will hang on, I'll get back to you as soon as this break is over. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have on the line with us Ryan from Washington State. And Ryan had just asked Command Sergeant Major Norton, have you heard of safety in the light? And you were answering that. And we had to go to break. So, Command Sergeant Major, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I know all about it. I sure do, sir. I found out about that a while back. And when I found out what it was, it just, blowed me away. It was unbelievable when I found out what it was.
Well, let me restate what I said. I think I might have been confusing. What I mean is if you have a couple samples of the debris, right? Well, how about giving it to a really reliable source and tell the NSA that if anything happens to you or your family, they will go straight to the media with that information. And it's sort of like a safety net, like a safety net type thing. That's what I was talking about.
Right.
The more you come forward, that's like Bob Lazar, the more he came forward, the less they bothered him because after that point, there's nothing they can do about it.
Right, sir. Right.
Okay, Ryan, excellent thoughts. Thank you for the call. And ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the telephone number, 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, and you wish to ask a question or make a comment, you can either call us or you can use the flash message option on the website. The flash message option is simple to use. You simply go to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is a link that says flash message. All right, so you can use that. But you have to be outside the USA or outside of Canada. All right. And to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
And I just want to make one real quick suggestion.
Go.
James, if you put those things on the internet, have them backed up in several different locations, give them to several people you trust so that if they get erased, you can put them back up.
Right, sir. I've got it documented on disk. My son has it. My daughter's has it.
Don't tell us who all has it.
Okay, yeah, but it's all documented, and it's in a safe place, and there's only three people that knows where it's at. If anything happens to me, they know what to do. It's all documented all right. for them.
Okay.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. Folks, we want you to have the opportunity to give James Norton a call and talk to him if you have a question or a comment. It's a rare opportunity, let me tell you. What you are experiencing here on this show, in the first broadcast we did with Command Sergeant Major James Norton, and in this broadcast, what you are experiencing is literally history in the making. And, I mean, you know, I have no reason to think that what he's telling us is not true. But I have to say it this way. If it is true, this is a bigger story, by far, a bigger story than Roswell. And you have the opportunity to participate in it, and we want you to feel free to do so. Telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty from Michigan.
Hi. Mr. Norton, you talked about the aliens put some thoughts in your head. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, sir. When I went through all of this, and I, you know, it totally changed my life because, you know, not seeing their mouth move, but I can actually sense what they're saying to me. And, you know, I'm talking back to them, but when they talk to me, they're not moving their mouth. It's just like they're putting this in my head. They're telling me what I ask them, and, you know, they're putting it in my head. And, you know, it's just a crazy feeling for that to happen, and I didn't know how to take it at the time. It was just, you know, something I had never experienced before. And for the next week after that incident, I had a headache from hell for several days.
Did you get the sense that, let's say you didn't move your mouth, could they understand what you were thinking without you actually physically saying it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They already knew where I was, what I was saying before anybody said it. See, and that's what really got me. But the after experience after that, having the bad headaches, my eyes burning, hurting, I mean, it was like, you know, something was in my head putting pressure in my head.
Okay, and one more question. You mentioned about some psychic abilities, and you mentioned about that you can, you know, tell what a person is before they even talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Are you able?
Yes, sir.
Are you able to, at this point, have you, after all this happened, let's say 2 months later, whatever time frame went by, have you ever gotten those thoughts in your mind again from them?
Oh, yes, sir. Several times, I'll go up to, I'll see like one of my friends or one of the guys in my unit that walks up to me and starts to tell me something. I said, you ain't got to tell me, I already know. He said, what do you mean? I said, I already know. He said, what are you, a mind reader? I said, no, somehow I know what you're going to say. And they look at me like, you're crazy, dude. I said, no, I'm not, dude. I'm not. But yeah, ever since, you know, 77, it's been like that. I can sense things that people are thinking. They're saying, you know, in their mind to themselves, but I can sense things like that, and it's a weird feeling. It is. And it gets complicated sometimes when you hear several people at one time. It's hard to distinguish who is saying what.
Right. So what do you think caused it? You think getting hit caused it, or do you think the fact that they opened up some kind of channel in your mind must be so you could communicate, you think that has stayed, or do you think getting hit did it?
It'd be really hard to say. It would. But I know when they were speaking to me, it was crystal clear. It was English. And I knew everything they were saying. Because I even responded back to them, you know, my voice, but they already knew what I was going to say. And that was the weird part about it.
Is it like pictures or is it actual words that's coming to your mind?
Actual words and some flashes of pictures.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a real, it's a weird feeling. I know that. Weird feeling.
All right, Rusty, thank you for the call. Man, you brought up some great points. Now, let me ask you before you go, what made you key in on that? What made you think about that?
I don't know. I was just sitting here. Well, when you first said about the psychic thing, then that lady called and asked about it, and I don't know, that just kind of got me thinking after she asked her question.
I see. All right. Well, thank you for the call. Again, very, very interesting points. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I'm Charlotte from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay, and you said your name is Haya?
Charlotte.
Oh, I'm sorry. How did I miss that? Okay, Charlotte. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Oh, yes. I was wondering if your guest met any aliens that looked human or were part human, either in civilian or military life.
Matter of fact, you know, I don't remember much after we were injured, but I did know that I was in a different place, like on a bed or something. And it was real bright, real bright where I was at. And it was like I was strapped down. I couldn't move. I mean, I tried and tried to move. I couldn't move. It was a real weird, you know, weird feeling to be like that. And then when we come down with this memory lapse, I mean, hundreds of us come down with this memory lapse that we lost time. We lost like days. We could not remember back. I don't know if it was some kind of chemical used or when we got injured. You know, it was just a weird feeling. But yeah, when this doctor, I can't say his name, I promised I wouldn't, put me under hypnosis. And when I listened to the audio recording that he asked me questions and stuff of, you know, everything that happened, and he said, when I woke up out of the hypnosis, he said, did you know there's hundreds of thousands of people that have went through the same thing you went through that I have put under hypnosis? And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. He said, no, it's all identical.
All right, Charlotte, thank you for the call. When you got injured, did you become unconscious?
Yes, when I first got hit, I was. Yes, sir. Sure was.
How long was it before you woke up in the hospital ward?
Oh, goodness. About two days, I started, you know, getting my senses back, remembering a little bit what happened. It was kind of hard to remember. It's like I was there and I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in a situation like that. But I did get hit pretty hard. Matter of fact, my steel pot that I had on my head, it's got a chin strap. It was actually broken in half. And I still have that.
Wow.
I still have my steel pot. I kept it as a memento. But, yeah, it was rough. It was, buddy.
All right. To the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Command Sergeant Major Norton, salutations.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I had a friend of mine who originally started out as an abductee investigation who said similar things that you have said, and he talked about when he was on a craft that they
yes,
that they flash things in front of him was so fast that he couldn't keep up. Almost gave him a headache.
Did it give me one? It sure did. I had headache for weeks.
Right, that's what he did. But he said that they told him when he asked what time, he told him, he said, I've got somewhere to go. He was wanting to go to happy hour. And they said, well, what time do you have? And he said, well, I got, and he realized that what time it was to him didn't matter to them because they were in a self-contained world.
Right.
Did you feel that way also?
Yes, sir. I sure did. That's what really got me in the hypnosis. Everything that was recorded, you know, step by step, what happened, what went on, what was said, you know, it was like it was written on paper, but it was in my head. And when they put you under hypnosis, it's a weird feeling when you come out of it. And then you listen to the audio recording of what you told to the doctor, you know, it blows you away. It's just unbelievable. You know, what your voice is saying on this recorder to this doctor.
All right. He also, one more thing, and then I'll let you go. He also said that he knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, that vehicle he was in had the ability, if they really wanted to do it, to basically destroy everything on this planet, and we couldn't do a darn thing about it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The fact that they only just stunned Jaw, basically, even though it burned, they could have wiped out the whole place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe they could. The way the craft could move that quick from one horizon to next in a few seconds, yeah, I believed it. Sure did, sir.
All right. We have to go to break. Mike, thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this. Indeed, listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Command Sergeant Major James Norton. James, when we went to break, you were talking about with our caller Mike. You were talking about having been on board their ship.
Yes, sir.
When did that happen in this series of events? You're in a battle. You get injured. You wake up in a hospital, a military hospital.
Yes,
when were you on that ship?
It was the time that I had the memory lapse when I got hit, and you know, it broke my chin, swept off my steel pot. And then it was just a little bit later on is when I remembered being there, and I'm like being tied down or strapped down, but there's no straps. I can see what's going on around me. I can sense everything they're saying, but they're not moving their mouth. And they're talking about doing this, doing that, and they were taking samples of me. They put something in my mouth, down my throat. I guess taking the saliva sample. They took blood samples, sperm samples. I mean, they done the whole nine yards on me. And, you know, I'm trying to tell them to stop. You're hurting me. You need to stop. I'm trying to get this out, but nothing's coming out. But undoubtedly, they're hearing me in my head. And, you know, I'm trying to scream, but nothing's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm you know, like strapped down, but there's no straps. I can see what's going on, and it's real bright. It's like I'm on this platform, and it's like it's floating. Because I can see the one next to me, what they're doing, and there's no legs under it. It's just like floating in the air. And it was one hell of a weird feeling, I can tell you that.
Okay, and then at some point after that is when you wake up in the hospital.
Right, sir. Right. And I asked the doctor, I said, well, what happened? He said, you don't remember? I said, no, sir. He said, well, you may have a concussion like that, you know, from me getting hit. And I said, well, you know, I don't think so. I don't think I had a concussion. I remember what happened, some of it, not all of it. He said, well, you took a pretty good lick. I don't know if that was something he was trying to make me think at the time or what. But, it was nuts, man. It was crazy.
What's next for you? I mean, you're getting this piece of debris. You're getting that analyzed at a laboratory, and you'll get the report back. What happens then after that?
Oh, goodness. I hope I can get on with my life and not have all these bad situations like... well, you know, in the military, you have PTSD. I don't know if this is part of it or not, but, you know, I've been to the VA several times, and they've tested me from PTSD, and well, anybody in combat zone is going to have PTSD regardless. I mean, what you endure in an active battle in a different country, and you have to, you know, defend yourself and your other guys there in your unit, and... they wanted to put me on some kind of medicine and stuff. I said, I don't need no medicine. I said, I know what happened. I don't need no medicine. You know, nothing is going to mess with my head. Because, you know, my job is to lead the men in my unit, plain and simple. I'm not going to be put on no kind of drugs or anything to try to change the way I think or anything like that. I said, I can think straight enough now. I don't need anything for help like that.
All right, we have a flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. And he says, hi, Kevin, good music on the radio. Well, thank you, Leonardo. That music that you're hearing during the breaks, ladies and gentlemen, is from independent artists at musicalley.com. But he also says that he wants me to ask you if you have been contacted by these aliens after this incident.
Yes. Yes, I have been.
What do they say to you?
That we're not going to hurt you. We just want to know about you more and your body. You know, it's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on.
Have you been back on their ship?
Yes.
So
I've had visits at my house
uh-huh.
in the middle of the night, around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I've actually woke up and seen them
uh-huh.
in my bedroom.
And when that happens, are you able to move?
No, I cannot move. It's like I'm strapped down, unable to move, speak. No speech whatsoever. I can't get nothing to come out.
But you can remember after these
right.
incidents.
Yes, sir. Sure can.
And during these incidents, do they take you on board the ship?
A couple times, yes, sir. They have.
Uh-huh. And did they give you any indication of any kind of a plan or agenda that they've got?
Not really. It's like they want to know more about my physiology, you know, my body,
mm-hmm.
How it works. And all this other stuff, you know, that's the impression I get.
When you have these incidents now, these contacts, is it something that scares you, or are you okay with it?
Well, it upsets me some because, you know, I can't move, I can't speak. You know, my children, you know, or even they get up real upset about it because when I do get able to speak or say anything, they'll come running in the bedroom. Dad, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because, you know, they say I was screaming, but I didn't hear it myself.
Uh-huh.
They said that I was screaming, crying, you know, out of breath, and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And it scares them pretty bad. And I said, baby, I'm okay, sweetheart. Y'all go back to bed. Daddy's okay. You know, I just had a bad dream. And that's what I tell the kids.
Have they ever seen these aliens?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, especially the youngest one, Oh, she's terrified. She is so terrified. She, you know, she used to crawl up in the bed with me at night when she got scared. She won't do it no more.
Uh-huh.
She is so scared that something they're going to do something to her.
How many, well, we're almost out of time. I have to get this real quick from you. How many times has she seen these aliens?
About three times.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, she said they're small, no hair, eyes, small mouth, and instead of a regular nose, just like two holes. And they're real short. So what she did, like 3 or 4 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
And
all
I said,
right.
Where did you see them at? She says, Daddy, they were coming in the wall. I said, what? She said, Daddy, they come through the wall. I said, okay, which wall? And then she shows me, you know, where they come in at.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So, you know, I didn't take it any further because she was upset already.
Yeah. Boy, I wish we had more time. James, I want to thank you for being with us again this evening.
No problem, sir.
All right. You stay on the phone with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. Like I said, if this story is true, and I have no reason to think it's not, if it's true, this is way bigger than Roswell. And you got to be a part of history in the making right here, and we have more history in the making coming your way each and every night, so you want to be here for every show. But we need you to stand with us so there'll keep being shows. We won't make it without your help. It is a listener-supported show. So either join our members area, 23 cents a day, that's all, or donate to the show. You can click the donate button on the website, or do both. We need you. And in order to keep bringing you history-making broadcasting, we have to have you participating with us. There's no other way. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.